Jimmy Buffett.
The one and only who's bringing Escape to Margaritaville, the musical, here to National Theater. Thanks so much for taking the time to join us. It's an absolute honor to have you here.
Oh, well, thanks, Jason. It's nice to be back in D.C. And look, I brought the weather.
Yeah, we needed
it. Nice. Yeah. I'll leave it for you.
Yeah, it hasn't felt like October lately. First of all, back before even Broadway, before it even did its test runs in New Orleans, San Diego, all that, where was the seed of this planted for you? When were you like, you know what, I want to try my hand at Broadway? Because we think of all your Parrothead tours and your concerts and everything, but when were you like, I want to try this on stage?
Well, I will tell you a very funny story, because it started right here in Washington, D.C. And it was a friend of mine, the great Jack Boyle, legendary Jack Boyle, who ran Cellar Door Productions and had the Cellar Door in Georgetown, mm-hmm. believed in me before anybody else years and years ago when I was a solo act. And, and he brought me to the D.C. area, and we started working, and as things went, you know, in those days, it was kind of like minor league ball. You started in club level. If the promoters thought you worked your way up to opening act, and then if you were good enough, you'd headline.
To the show.
Yeah, that happened to me here over, you know, for 40 years, I guess, you know. And there are memorable days of Meriwether Post in the old days, and now we do. But we're always touring in this area. It's always on our map. But Jack, at one point in time, we were talking about it because he was a great fan of Herman Wolk's, and Herman Wolk lived in Georgetown at that time. And he was the one that said to me, Jack Boyle said, you know, you ought to look at Don't Stop the Carnival as a musical. He said, you know, there's a group of people that just love that, and I knew about it because at that point I was living on my sailboat down in the Caribbean, and everybody had that book on board. So it was Jack Boyle who kind of came up with the idea of a musical. Well, it turned out that we did that musical with Herman Wolk, and I wrote, it was the first musical I did. We did Don't Stop the Carnival. It played in Miami, never made it to Broadway, but it was one of the great experiences of my life. And from that, people that went to that show are investors in this show.
That's awesome. There's a D.C. tie that no one even knew about. Awesome.
It's a breaking story, Jason.
You'll hear it tomorrow.
No, it's true. And Jack Boyle was the first one that did it, and it gave me the idea to go. And I chased, and I found Herman Wolk, and, you know, he didn't know who I was. I didn't know he was still alive. And I went to visit him, and a day later, he wasn't doing anything. So he wrote the libretto for that show, and I did the music for it. And as I said, that spawned my interest, and I love musical theater because my mother was a great local performer in Mobile, Alabama, where I grew up at the Mobile Theater Guild. So I would go to shows with her. And
do you have any favorites as a kid?
Oh, South Pacific.
Oh, well, of course, I should have known.
Dites-moi pourquoi la vie est belle. Yeah, I can do that. Yeah. So. You know, it is. It's nice to come full circle. And plus, Jack was so good to me in the D.C. era to give me a break here to play the Cellar Door in those days. And I still have, I've got a $300 check that I never cashed. I don't know why I lost it at the time. I sure as hell would have cashed it in those days. But somehow it wound up, and it's like sitting up there. That was for a week at the Cellar Door.
Oh, yeah. You had it framed for a while?
Yeah. I guess I still have it framed. Yeah,
somewhere.
It's up there. Yeah. No, it's in my office. Yeah.
That's so awesome. All right, so that's great. So you're doing. So you do this other musical down in mm-hmm. Miami, mm-hmm. The Carnival. And then how do you bridge that into this one? You say, okay, well, let's do let's face it, kind of like a greatest hits version.
Well, as I said, there were some of our producers and good friends who are from South Florida got together with. They connected up and came to me through a series of people that I knew in New York going through the process and presented me with the idea of doing it, and I liked it a lot. And then my dear friend and co-producer Frank Marshall kind of was there to shepherd the process, and we went for it.
Yeah. And you guys got you know, a couple, I think, Emmy-winning and Emmy-nominated writers to write this thing with you. How much input did you have with them story-wise? We'll get to the music in a second, but the basic premise, you know, we're at a bar in the Caribbean. You know, how much of that was you, or how much of them is, you know, bouncing notes off you kind of a thing?
Well, you know, most of the songs that I write are autobiographical. Some of them are made up. It's I never tell what's what. But, you know, having that much material out there that has affected people that I know in a positive way, with a little release from the tediousness of daily life, I was so lucky to just get that job and then wound up in Key West, Florida, which accelerated the process of writing about places that I liked and being there. And all of a sudden you realize that was in every culture and everybody needs those couple of days off. And I was lucky enough to kind of put my thumb on that pulse beat. And so when the writers came along, it was very important that they were part of that group of people that were basically parrot heads for you know, that term's around, kind of coin. Right. But there's different levels of parrot headism, I would say.
Oh, yeah. What do you call the different tiers?
I don't know what the different tiers are, but, you know, let's see. It depends on costumes and things of that nature. But as a child of the Mardi Gras, I love costumes. And that was another part of it that, you know, it felt like, you know, I'd always wonder why we were getting away with this in middle America. And I realized that it was like based on my love of Mardi Gras, and you'd have to have a couple of days off. So when we back to the writers, it was important that that music was a part of their lives, not that there was a writing assignment.
They had to be authentically from the
authenticity
world.
Was one thing that was absolutely important. So then you get to the music, and it was like they knew the songs enough to then stitch together a story based on the songs they thought. And, you know, it's all just, it's recognition and it's energy. You got energy up, energy down, and that's the way you write any show. You know, you want to take them to the highs and lows. And they basically took the songs that really they liked the most and thought could work in the show. And that's, you know, then they came to us and they put it together, and we went, yeah, that sounds pretty good. And I never thought of all those songs coming together in even an album. You know, sure. The songs in the show would have never been, you know, they come from years of work. But when you hear it all put together and stitched into a show, it works.
Right. Yeah, and the highs and lows. You know, you get Fins, and then you bring them down. 5 o'clock somewhere is a little down, and then bring it up and down.
Yeah.
Give us the premise really fast of, you know, the main character, and, you know, I want that.
Well, it's, you know, he's me in a way that, yeah, I did the same thing. You know, you have, if you have any love of the Caribbean or if it enters your, you know, and the line that came in later, and I don't think I'm giving it away, but there's a whole scene of the girl that he's interested in is starting to ask him questions that make him nervous. And about why did you come here, and it's a great little speech, but at the end he starts giving all these answers and he went, the cold, and you know, and that was it for me. It was that for me, the cold. That's why I went to Key West, Florida, to get warm. And so that's a universal theme as well. So the main character rides that, and then there's two women on vacation, her best friends, and they happen to wind up in Margaritaville. One is very carefree. The other is kind of a stick in the mud, and she's work is her thing, and she doesn't lighten up. But eventually, the margaritas in the sun kind of change her attitude and her latitude.
Exactly.
So and it kind of go, and then you've got great characters that, again, you know, the books that I have written are all. Mark Twain said, you write what you know about. So I spend a lot of time on a boat in the Caribbean or flying around, and I love it. And I love the historical past of all of those cultures from Europe kind of coming together in this Callaloo stew pot, you know, 3,000 miles away, and what came out of it. It's, you know, some good, some bad, but it's an amazing thing. And fun was always part of it, you know.
Absolutely. And, I mean, the few people can claim that you know, that you said you got your finger on the pulse of it, but you created a whole genre. I mean, Bill Monroe, bluegrass, you know, Chuck Berry, rock and roll. But for you, you're that whole island sound, you know. I mean, we had the Bob Marleys and the like, but, you know, but you did that whole, you know, trop rock, I guess. You got Kenny Chesney and everyone else imitating it.
Well, it's kind of extended the fact that I'm doing stuff with Kygo now.
Okay.
The DJ said that's Tropical House.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of fun that, you know, it's still it's wonderful to see that there's still fun in people's lives, because, you know, that it keeps us civil and it keeps us.
Final question, really quick. It's called, you know, Escape to Margaritaville. Back to the song itself.
Mm-hmm.
I love the progression of the narrator taking responsibility. You know, it could have been my fault.
Yeah.
Maybe it was my fault. It's my own damn fault. How'd that come to you?
Catholic Jesuit guilt. That'll Mayor Koopa. Mayor Koopa. Mayor Maxima Koopa. Yeah.
Not many pop tops to step on there. But all right, cool. Well, I know you're coming. It debuts. When this airs, it'll be tonight because it's tomorrow. And you're going to be there, right? How excited are you going to be to see it on
I'm
stage?
I'm very excited because I've seen this cast, and it's a very young and very, you know, invigorating. It's like minor league ball. You know, I love baseball. It's just like seeing everybody at that level. And it's always part of the process of this is where you start if you want to try to go the whole distance. And I was lucky enough to make it that way. And my biggest thrill would be if kids that start in this show have that same experience.
Hopefully it's a home run, sir. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate
Jason.
It.